We're going to take our Bibles and turn to Ephesians chapter 6 tonight. We'll read three verses, then we'll spend a little bit of time in Proverbs, and then we'll have the Lord's Supper, and then, of course, after that, we'll have a business meeting. Last Sunday, we started with this concept, and we spent a long time. The message was about 50 minutes, as I recall. And I think I would be willing to admit that I just poured out my heart. And I have a great burden for the next generation. I said to somebody recently that in parenting it can be very intimidating to think about parenting our children. But we want to look beyond them. Think about how difficult it is in this day to raise a child. Think about how much more difficult it will be when these children are raising children. Now, some things that the Scripture speaks of are under grave attack. Of course, there's all kinds of doctrinal things, but one of the things, particularly in parenting, is right here in this passage. And it has to do with this idea of obedience. Now, I need to spend a few minutes on that, at least by way of review, for those of you that weren't here, or to remind us of it. But then I'd like to move on. But verse 1 of Ephesians 6 is so common. It might be the very first verse that our children learned, I'm not sure. It's a wonderful verse. There's nothing intimidating here. There's nothing difficult. It's very clear. It's very simple. But the Bible says, children, obey your parents. It does not say, obey the police. It does not say, obey the Lord. It does not say, obey the Bible. It's much simpler than that. It says, obey your parents. Very simple. This is all about authority. This is not about relationship. It's not about relationship. This is not about feeling good. This is not about self-image. This is not about accepting things. This is not about when mom and dad are inconsistent. This is not about whether it's fair that you have to do something when you have a brother or sister who doesn't or does or whatever. It's very simple. It's very clear. It's very streamlined. It's very direct. Obey your parents. That's about authority. Now, it's obvious, I think, to us that the children don't get that. But I'm not preaching to the children. My burden last week is not about the children. My burden is not about disobedient children. Disobeying children is not my burden. My burden is parents who are not insisting on obedience, period. See, now if we loosen up on this as parents, they don't have a chance. They do not have a chance. This is the way God made the universe. It's about obedience. And I'm full, there are so many things I'd like to say about that, but I really want to move on and get into the Lord's Supper and prepare for that. But obedience, there can be no obedience if there is not authority. So mom and dad, you're going to have to decide whether you're going to do your family God's way or not. But if you're going to do it God's way, then you are signing on to being the authority in your child's life. You're going to have to tell them what to do. And you're going to have to expect them, yea, demand of them, yea, insist of them, yea, accept nothing less than explicit, immediate obedience with the right attitude. Now, if that sounds harsh, then you're only looking at the seed and you're not looking at the fruit. If you can pull this off, and you can with the grace of God, but you must think clearly. But if you can pull this off at the youngest age and help that child to learn that the way of transgressors is hard, and help him to learn that he does not need to obey because you're bigger than him. He does not need to obey because otherwise he'll be spanked. He does not need to obey because there are bullies around. He does not need to obey because somehow if he doesn't, it's dangerous. That all of that is completely aside. That's completely irrelevant. He needs to obey because that's the way God made life. No explanation about why. It doesn't say, children, obey your parents if you understand. It doesn't say, children, obey your parents if you understand why this is better than something. No, it's just very simple. Now, the older your children get, the older our children get, the more we need to appeal to their minds. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about prior to verbal communication here. I'm talking about at the earliest possible age, helping the child to understand that you are not the center of the universe. He's born believing he is. You are too. Our children are born believing that everything revolves around them. And by the way, we sometimes can do a lot to instill in them that idea. How many mothers give birth, hold the child in their arms, and think, I can't wait to spank you or correct you or stand up to you? Not one. This is counterintuitive. How many mothers are there that hold the baby in their arms and spontaneously think, I could never spank him or her? That's intuitive. That's natural. See, this is a matter of faith, and it is not easy. Simple, yes. Very, very simple. This is not sophisticated. This is not complex. Very simple to know. Very excruciatingly difficult to do. It's about authority. Well, I contend that verse 2 comes after verse 1 on purpose. And that's the thrust of the message. That's why I call it influencing teens. The idea here is that when a child is a child, that we instill in them this idea of obedience. Obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. And that at that point, the relationship is authority. At that level, that very basic foundational level, very early in life level, mom and dad are authority figures. Child toward parent, child has no sense of gratitude. They have no idea what it's like to do without bread or clothing. They don't do that. They just assume that lights just happen. They just assume that water just happens. They assume that buildings just happen. They have no concept. They just cannot grasp values. They don't value how much anything costs. They have no concept of the idea that that if dad doesn't go to work, I pick dad, mom, whatever, but if they don't go to work, and you know, some of this is really being attacked in our culture today, but if they don't go to work, we don't eat. See? So there's that authority. But what we want to look at is beyond that, but it's based on that. What we want to do is look at where we can go, the prospect of where we can go. If we get this settled, if we get this nailed down, if we get obedience nailed down, with obedience, it's constantly. It's going to be, you know, whose will is going to win? Is this child's will going to win? Or is God's will going to win? It's not mom versus child. It's not dad versus child. Mom and dad represent ultimate authority. See? You've got to be very careful the battles you pick. But they are battles. And there are strong wills. And praise God for strong-willed children. Jesus was extremely strong-willed. Paul was extremely strong-willed. Moses was extremely strong-willed. If you don't have a strong will, then you're good for nothing. Okay? Strong will is not bad. Strong will is very, very good. It just needs to be directed into the will of God rather than self. But if that can get nailed down, if this child can yield, if this child can submit, I don't mean externally conform. That's where dad and mom need extreme perception that comes only from God, because we do not know their hearts. But if this child can grasp this idea that, wow, one way to live is constant friction. It's your role to make a friction. Constant friction where I just, you know, it's frustration and I can't get my own way and nothing happens the way I like it to and all that. And you're just making that way just to be constant stress and constant tension. If they recognize that that is the way of self-will. But there's another way that's peace. There's another way where they recognize it's not getting their way. It's conforming to the team. It's there's mom, there's dad, there's me, and we're all in this together, each for the other, and all for the Lord. If you can get them to get that, and it's essential, then the prospect is going on to a completely different relationship. Now, that's not to say that, number one, that it's all based on this foundation. Okay, remember last week we talked about foundation, walls, roof. Foundation, if that's not right, the walls aren't right. But I want to go to the walls. You got to do the foundation first and then the walls. But if you get the foundation right, and then you build the walls, then there's prospect of the roof. Verse 1, foundation. Verse 2, walls. Verse 3, roof. Relationship of obedience. Okay? We'll move on from there. Secondly, a relationship of honor. Honor. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise. Now, you probably recognize very early on here, is it possible to obey without honoring? Is it possible to honor without obeying? That's what you got to think through. See, honor that has integrity is based on obedience. Obedience is first. I'm not saying here, oh, so you say that we ought to focus on obedience and forget honor. No. I'm saying that there can be no honor without obedience. It is fundamentally the logical building here. There has to. Your child cannot honor you. Your child cannot honor you if he's defiant to your authority. It's impossible. He can't do it. If he on the inside is just grating against you, just resents you and is bitter to you and is determined to do his own way, he cannot honor you. It must have the foundation first. Honor builds on obedience. When? I said to you last week, Roman numeral 1, the relationship of obedience. When? As soon as possible. When on number 2? As soon as possible. We sell our kids so short. I'm convinced of this. So sharp. When do you move to the relationship of honor? Just as soon as possible. As soon as possible. Honor builds on obedience. There can be no honor without obedience. But this is about heart. This is about attitude. Obedience is external. Stand up. They either do or they don't. You're aiming for attitude. You're going beyond that if you can. But you may not be able to always accurately discern the attitude, but you can discern whether they did or didn't make their bed. Whether they did or did not do their homework. If you tell them to do something, whatever, simple thing, pick up your coat and put it on the couch. They either did or they didn't. Teach them. Either it's obedience or disobedience. Very clear, very simple. Do what you're told, when you're told. You aim for the right attitude. But you get that nailed down. You help them to understand that instant, impeccable obedience is what you demand. You will accept nothing less. Then you can really move on to this honor as they get that. And they will. All you have to do is be consistent. That's the rub. You have to be determined. You have to have buy-in for this. You can't try it. It's got to be driven theologically, or you understand. It's the exact same thing with you and God. You disobey God. You sin against God. There is something between you and Him. Like it or not, there is. That's what God says, and He's made every provision for it. But we must address it. We must face it. I disobeyed. I sinned. You said to do this. I didn't. You said to think this. I didn't. We need to be honest with God. So that drives our parenting. So the relationship of honor, it's about attitude, it's about heart. This is where we go away from authority. And it's a relationship more of influence than authority. That's a huge point. That's what you want. But listen, you cannot influence your child to obey unless you first establish that obedience issue. You know, parents are trying to influence their children to obey, trying to get their children to obey. It doesn't work that way. That's honor. You have to start with obedience. That's based on authority. Then you move to honor. That's based on influence. In other words, why do they obey? Because they must. It's authority. Yeah. Why do you not let them get by with disobedience? Because if you let them get by with disobedience, you are in trouble with God. Because He's the ultimate authority. And as you get them to obey based on authority, then you can move over to the honor. You're always ready. Go right back to that when they need it. And they will, consistently. You never let that go. But you build on that. Something cracks in the foundation, bang, you go right back to that. Stop building the walls, go right back to the foundation. But you want to move to this honor as early as you can. This is where a child realizes that his parents are not trying to run his life. The relationship of honor is where it dawns on the child. Mom and Dad are not trying to run my life. They're desperately trying to give me life. They're not trying to control me. They're not trying to dominate me. What Mom and Dad are doing is simply submitting to the sovereign God who made life that will only work one way. They're passionate about giving me life. They're not trying to control me. But that's honor. Obedience first. Honor is walls. See? As long as that child is defiant, as long as that child says, I will not obey, the child can't even taste that. He can't even taste those blessings. That's where we are today. So many workers, adult workers, they hate work. They hate their job. It's just, they hate their job because they're over here. They're in this turmoil of disobedience. They just cannot stand that boss tells me what to do. Wives, same way. Cannot stand that they have to be submissive to their husbands. Just can't stand it. What happens in the military if what happened, what used to happen? you didn't get by with that because it was based on authority. That is weakening, of course. But brethren, listen. You have to ask, we have to ask ourselves the question as Christians, do we believe in authority because we are authoritarian people? Because we are insecure? Do we believe in authority because we're dominating? We believe in authority because it is biblical. Because the Bible has established this. And we're simply conforming to what it says. Say, it's going to be hard to get through this. Good night. I gave myself 20 minutes. I'm done with that. If you picture it, a relationship of obedience is when the child is here and the parent is over them. It's authority. But when you go to honor, you're moving more toward this. You're moving more toward peers, fellow strugglers.
That's what you want. That's what you want. We want to have godly adult conversations with our children. I mean, 70, 80, if you live to be 70, 80 years old. You know, I mean, your kids are only kids for just a really small time. I mean, we all say they grow up so fast. Well, yeah, they do. So let's not treat them like children. Let's treat them like they're becoming adults before they get there. Let's demand obedience. And demonstrate to them, we're not trying to manipulate, we're not trying to control you, we're trying to give you a life and a foundation for a life so that for the rest of your life, you're just in awesome gratitude for the incredibly unusual opportunity you've been given because you get a mom and a dad who raised you theologically. That's the honor thing. It's moving to that adult relationship. We're going to the place of two people serving under the same master, the Lord Jesus. Take your Bible, turn it over to Proverbs 23. We've looked at this verse before. It's a very well-known verse. At least it should be. I hope it is. But I want you to look at something in Proverbs 23, 26. Look at verse 26. This is Solomon, a very inconsistent but very wise man. Look what Solomon said to his son. He said, "My son, give me thine heart and let thine eyes observe my ways." Isn't this interesting? What's going on in this verse? There's some concepts here that we can ponder. Here's a father speaking to a son saying, "Give me thine heart." Why did he say that? What did he mean? What was he asking? I mean, is this just sentiment? Is he just saying, "Son, love me"? No. Is he saying, "Son, trust me"? Is he saying, "Son, believe me, give me your heart"? No. Listen. He's saying this, "Son, watch me. Check me out." Because he says, "My son, give me thine heart and let thine eyes observe my ways." Did you see it? "Let thine eyes observe my ways." Gang, let me tell you what. That can't happen if you haven't gotten obedience nailed down. Obedience has to be nailed down. And then that opens up the opportunity where that child can be taught, "I'm not the boss because I'm bigger. I'm not the boss because I'm older. I'm not the boss because I'm smarter. I'm not the boss because I have the money. I'm the boss because God made it that way." It's huge. This is just simple theological concepts. But they're so counter to our... They're probably counter to the way most of us were raised. I didn't learn this growing up. I didn't grow up in this kind of a family. Not at all. But we can do this. And we can learn this. And we can adopt these things and be fashioned by the Word of God in order to think this way. Listen, when this dad said to his son, "My son, give me thine heart and let thine eyes observe my ways," he was being very humble. He was being very vulnerable. He was inviting his son, I believe, to say, "Dad, why did you do that?" But it's walls, it's not foundation. You know, it's not, what are you doing? It's not questioning Dad. It's not interrogating Dad. It's not taking Dad to task. It's not Dad accountable to son. See? Parents try to do this sometimes, and they get this out of order, and they try to build the walls, and then what happens? They want to be vulnerable to their child, because that is a biblical value, to be vulnerable, to be open, to be honest, to be transparent. The idea is, now this is twisted, but the idea is, well, you know, it's God's the big shot, I'm not. Yeah, but that's backwards. You are the authority. You have to get that nailed down. You are going to talk to Jesus one day about how you raised that child. See? That is called accountability. You will give an account. You will give an answer. We are responsible. God did not say to you, "Okay, mom and dad, listen, what I want you to do is I just want you to give them a house to live in and clothes and food and I'll take care of the rest. God didn't say that. God said to them, you bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. And anybody that ever has a child is going to talk to Jesus one day about how well we did in bringing them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. No excuses, no loopholes. It's a delegated job from the supreme authority to us. And he has given us the authority to do that. And when we get that backwards and we try to get into this talking relationship, you know, where we're kind of codependent, where you know, I'm not really, I can't sleep at night because little Junior defied me and I'm just really not sure what to do. And I just have to have Junior happy with me. And I'm just not comfortable standing up with Junior, up to Junior. You see, that's a theological problem. You are betraying yourself by revealing that in fact, your security is not based on grace and God and His Word and your unalterable relationship with Him. Fellowship changes, but relationship with God, unchanging, stable, rock, you have a refuge, you are fixed. Rather, you are allowing yourself to be drawn in to this fickle, whimsical relationship with a 2-year-old or a girl. And don't go there. You want to think theologically. You want to live your life based on theology, based on God, based on what the Word of God says. Do you get this? I'm going to have to stop. Or we'll be here all night, like we were last week. But anyway, yeah, give me thine heart, let thine eyes observe my ways. Being accountable, you know. Let me ask this. Here's a question. What would happen if someone gave you their heart and then became just like you? What would happen? See, God made it. God made the family as the way to do that. See, we have to ask ourselves, does parenting work or did God miss it? I mean, this idea of the family, of raising the next generation in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, can that work? Or is this just, are we in some kind of a random chaotic mess where it's just like, well, you know, we just do the best we can, but our kids make their own choices? Listen, there are all kinds of Christian psychologists that are driving that down our throats. Push back with the Word of God. Don't let that bleed over into your thinking, or else you will just you will just allow them to tie your hands and you will not be desperate. Listen, nothing is impossible when you put your trust in God. You say, well, I don't think I can do this parenting thing. Bingo. You mean you just got that? You mean you had to have a child to understand that? That's paltry, brethren. Come on. There's no clock out here. I mean, even the president in the State of the Union mentioned this. Did you hear it? He didn't say it the way I'm saying it. But he actually said something like, you know, being a father is not just being able to, I don't remember how he said it, but he talked about being there. Talked about relationship. Let me tell you, when he said that, he was saying something that was biblical, much to his dismay, perhaps. But he was. And that's true. And we get this all out of whack. Every parent, every good parent, wants relationship with his kids. But that's the roof. You got to do the foundation first. And your kid will not cooperate. Your child will not cooperate. You will have to drag him kicking and screaming to obedience. Do you know why? Because he's just like you. You made him. By nature, we are not obedient. We are sinners. We are rebels against God. See? To the degree that you do not accept that, you will not be able to effectively train your children. It's all theology. If you don't get the theology right, you are not going to be able to train your children. You're not going to be able to do it. But if you start with this sense of, when I got married, I married a sinner. So I've got one sinner marrying another sinner, and where am I coming up with this idea that somehow there's some marvelous thing that happened that we became incompatible? You are incompatible from the beginning. The only possible way that you can build a marriage is if each of you together say, it's not about me, and it's not about her, and it's about him. And we will each submit to him and build a marriage.
It's a relationship of honor. What would happen if someone gave you their heart and became just like you? What would happen is the family would work. And the fact is, our children are just like us. And it's very humbling. But they are. They are. And when our children are just
very early in life, and we start seeing things in them, we are theologically accurate if we humbly talk to Jesus and say, what I'm seeing in him, I'm guessing you're seeing that in me. Root it out of me so you can use me to root it out of him. But that takes humility. It takes faith in God. But that's God's way.
Give me thine heart. Let thine eyes observe my ways. I think I'll stop there. We'll come back perhaps, I don't know, next week was going to be missions. I don't know what we'll do. But we'll trust the Lord with it. I really feel like in these sermons, I'm just sharing my heart. I'm really burdened. And I just decided I'm old enough that I think I'm going to do some of this.